All right, man. Yes. Thanks for joining Hell us yeah, again bro. For another episode. This time we got a big win. Big win.
Huge.
We set a record, bro. Stick around and we'll tell you what record that was. But in the meantime, check this out about Shay. 42 points. Is that what he put up, bro?
Yeah, man. Let's just go through it. 42 points, 2 blocks, 3 steals, 6 assists,
30
4
minutes.
Rebounds, and 30 minutes. That's right. He only played 3 quarters, guys. It was insane. If you didn't see it, you got to go back and watch it because what Shay did was truly spectacular in that 30 minutes of play.
Yeah, and we're on triple-double watch as Josh Giddey got close, but he got a double-double. 17 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. I thought they owed him another one that they didn't give him. But really, what impressed me about both of these stars was the way they did it on the defensive end. The steals, the blocks, the positioning, to staying in your position, challenging the pass, moving your hips, getting in front of the ball. I mean, we saw it on both ends from these guys. Let's talk about it. We saw 3 steals from each, Josh Giddey and Shay. 1 block for Giddey, 2 blocks for Shay. They led on that end, and then good things started happening, right? Like, yes, we had good things happening offensively. That's what you know, get when you get a record. But, like, check this out. My point is, we didn't wait for it to happen on the offense. We didn't wait for shots to start falling. We did it on the defense, and we made things happen in transition. It was a great game.
Yeah, there was a few times that I watched Giddey play defense, and I was really impressed by it. When he was pushing his defender, I think it was either Green or Martin, he was taking his defenders, pushing him baseline, really getting him to the spot where he was getting the help defense at. And I watched Shay, and I watched the interaction there, and it was just beautiful because you recognize that Josh is playing this high-end defense, and whether it's stealing the ball, whether it's getting blocks, whether it's pushing the guy that he's playing defense on to the baseline to get that trap. There's so many things that he's doing that it's just spectacular right now. And we can break down all the guys we want, but when it comes down to guys that are playing way above their level and way above their year, Josh Giddey is a perfect example of that. He is playing like a true veteran right now. He's only 20 years old, and yet he's putting out these insane numbers right now, and you got to take a step back and just appreciate it. Some of the assists that he had, Mark, last night.
Let's just talk about
the assist.
Yeah.
Some of the assists that he had last night were just like, I literally just stopped. And we did a live show last night, and we were hanging out with all those guys from all over the world. We had 177 of you guys stop by and talk.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well over 200 comments of just questions and different things like that. But, you know, we got to each one. Hopefully we got to each and every one of them. But to me, it was everything that everybody was talking about, Josh Giddey and Shay, and then the Josh's passes, the inbounds passes that he was having, the alley-oops, the insanity that he was going out there and playing with. There was an alley-oop that he passed that I kind of looked like it was an alley-oop, but it really wasn't. But it was a missed shot. But it was that, you know, drive to the hard to the hole, kissed it off the glass, and Kenny Hustle cleaned it up. I looked at it like that as an alley-oop just because it was like really the only person that could get it was Kenny Hustle. And there was nobody else that could have got that rebound.
There's such a thing as a good miss, right?
And, yes, hey, that was it.
I mean, it's not necessarily an assist, but if you see that your team has the other side of the board, you just need to get it up there so because the pass won't get through. It was the right play. We'll give him credit like he's a genius. All right, so let's talk, before we go to Moose, because Moose deserves a lot of shine, but let's talk about J-Dub. Okay, J-Dub had an offensively quiet game. 2 points, 0 for 3 shooting, okay? But here's the thing about this rookie, power forward as he's listed, even though he plays a different level of game. 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 of those were offensive. This guy is competing, and he's making the right play at the right time. He lets the game come to him. And if you want to think back about why we fell in love with Shay before he was a Thunder player, when he was at the Clippers, right? When, you know, I was watching the Clippers play, I was like, this guy's special. It was because he understood how to let the game come to him. He understood how to make the right plays at the right time. And if you can start out in that spot, you'll earn minutes. And then you can start polishing off the other parts of your game. And that's what we saw from J-Dub. Only 2 points, but 7 assists, 6 rebounds. I thought it was a really big game for him.
I did too, man. I look at J-Dub and what he's doing. It's not one of those guys that you would particularly say that he controls and takes over the game with the points aspect right now. But that's okay because that will come in time. I've never seen a rookie that's been consistently, besides LeBron and you know a couple other guys here and there that are scattered and splintered throughout the league, that come in averaging an insane amount of points their rookie year. Most of them come in like Paul George or like Shea or, you know, like Josh Giddey that come in and averaging 12 points a game, you know, and that's great. That's what they need. And then it's the progression and the constant getting better, better, better through the years. And I look at J-Dub and I see what he already brings to the table with his assist, with his rebounds. He had that assist. I don't remember who it was. Was it to Shea, backdoor bounce pass? That was, looked like Josh Giddey passing it. It was beautiful. Like, he understands the game, and it's slow for him. And the fact that he doesn't need to score to dominate a game is something that it's very rare. And as we're watching him, you know, throughout his career, you know, I don't have any doubt that he's going to have games where he scores 40 plus points a game, you know, 45, 50. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, J-Dub has that it factor. But when it mm-hmm. comes down to it, he does everything right everywhere else. And more so, he's a glue guy. Look at how he picks on Shea. There's nobody else in that locker room that picks on Shea like J-Dub does. And I love it because you need guys like that to keep it light. And, you know, J-Dub is just, bro, he's so perfect for this team. He really is.
Yeah. And Moose started at center. He put up 19 points, 5 of 8 from deep. Just a really good game for him. 6 rebounds. I felt like it was one of the quietest 19-point performances we've had by anybody all year because he was just hitting threes, but all 5 of them were kind of spread out throughout the game. And it was just
so great.
It was in rhythm. So, like, we kind of looked up and it was like, whoa, I had no idea he was almost at 20 points. But just a completely consistent game for Moose. The type of game that you really need in this time where we're waiting for people to come back. Go ahead.
Didn't he start off like 0 for 3 on three-pointers or 0 for 2 on three-pointers, and then he came back and just hit 5 in a row? Like he was doing what we needed Mike to do when he goes out there. 18 minutes and, you know, had 19 points, 5 rebounds, like 6 rebounds. Like, he was just out there doing what we needed Mike to do. And yeah, we can't expect him to put up 19 points a game, but we can expect him to spread that floor, because by him spreading the floor, it made it so Şengün had to step up his game, and he picked up 4 fouls in that first half. So, like, and there was a lot of it was because Mike Muscala was getting him on his heels and just taking care of him. That's what we need to be able to have to really make it so that, you know, Şengün or whoever we're playing against isn't going to completely dominate us.
Yeah, and we saw the bench play at a really high level too. But before we get there, let's talk about Aaron Wiggins. 9 points and just doing the right things. Like, he's been a huge part of our success when he's playing well. We do miss Dort, but in the meantime, Aaron Wiggins is doing a hell of a Dort impression. So he's going to keep coming a long way.
His defense is so good.
Yeah, it is. And so you got to put him on different people, different positions. He just kind of has that Andre Roberson vibe, but with
Andre,
a polished offensive game, right? All right, yeah, so dude, let's talk bench. You go ahead, and then we'll go bench.
I was just going to say, we're going to go over Josh Giddey's stats real quickly. 17 points, 1 block, 3 steals, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 of which are offensive. Listen, last game against Houston, nothing was going right. This game against Houston, I felt like Josh Giddey was the main factor in everything going right. The ball was dropping properly. He was getting the assist. The shots were falling. Man, this to me, yes, Shea had 42 points and really led this team to the victory, but the way that Josh Giddey recognized how to get Shea the ball and when to get Shea the ball is great, man. There was a couple times that, I mean, we were watching with all of our buddies on live, man, right?
Yeah.
And Shea gets the ball, right? And I was like, it's over. Done. Easton's too far back on him, or whoever's guarding him is too far back on him, and he's almost at half court, you know, like... Yeah. It's too late. Like, you didn't get up on Shea when you had an opportunity. He's going to run right past you. And he did. And that's what's so impressive is that Josh recognized that. You know, Josh recognized, hey, you know, if I get Shea the ball right here, he's almost at half court, but it's too late for everybody else. And I love the way that Josh is able to direct the traffic like that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And our bench was huge. Huge.
Huge.
But, let's just put it like this. Everybody off the bench knocked down a 3. Trey Mann hit 1, but everybody else hit at least 2, okay, which is crazy. Just really, really great to see Jalen Williams, Jay Will, out there playing at a really high level. He's impressed charges? Everybody. Yep. How many? 3?
He had 3, but there was, what, 2 that they should have been called? Or at least one that should have been called?
At least, yeah. The game was over by the time they missed it. But then there was also his offensive rebounding, which he got 2 of those. And he drew a couple of loose ball fouls on the Rockets that they don't give you an offensive rebound. But I know there's at least two times where he drew offensive fouls or loose ball fouls where we kept to keep the possession simply because of effort. And in a way, Kenny Williams, he played 10 minutes and he scored 10 points. So he played really good. But Jay Will was playing that center.
What? 10 points, one steal, four assists, three rebounds, and 10 minutes and some change, bro. Come on. Kenny is a beast out there right now.
But I feel like Jay Will has moved into that center position where at first when we were like, how are we going to handle JRE and Poku being gone? It was like, hey, Kenny's that small ball five, which worked. But Jay Will is kind of like, he plays small ball mentality. He shoots a three. He runs up and down the court. He's kind of got that Kenny Hustle mentality out there. But at the same time, he's a big body, so he can get those rebounds and help control the glass. So I feel like we've matured. Even since mid-January, you know, where we weren't sure we were going to get those backup minutes, I don't see Jay Will going back to the G League. But he might, and that would be fine if he did, because it would be because he was going to get minutes, which he needs. Yeah. But, like, to me, like, his level of play, like, if you can contribute at this level in the NBA, the only reason you're going back to the G League is because it's a part of the plan. He's already proven that he's an NBA player, period.
You're right. I don't hide it when I say that I'm an Arkansas Hoops fan. Like, right, I love what they're doing there. One of my best friends in high school, Chris Killeman, lives in Arkansas, and he bought me my first Arkansas gear. And I had it up until, I think, when we moved from Hawaii, and I noticed that we had some mold on it, so I threw it away. Yeah. But that was, that's what it meant to me. Like, you know, like, Arkansas has always meant something to me. So Jalen Williams and what he's able to do out there, to me, is just something that I enjoy so much more because he's special. Like, he understands the game. He understands what he's doing. And I hate saying that injury really brought us to this point, but I don't know if Jalen Williams had a plan on playing in the NBA this year. You know, if you think about it, look at who he's behind. You know, Chet, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, then Chet went down. Poku, then Poku went down. JRE went down, right? So yeah, three guys in front of him, legit guys in front of him. And if all three of those guys are playing, you know, he's not going to be taking a lot of time. But with every single situation, you know, there's always an opening. And the injury bug hit us, and when it hit us, it opened the door for him. And what he's been able to do by stepping through is really made it so that other guys that can't bring what he can bring to the table are going to have to step up their game if they think that they're going to be able to keep on getting playing time over him. Because I'll be honest with you, is JRE's got a long ways to go, and I'm a huge JRE fan. But Jay Will and what he brings in adding three or four possessions a game off of the defensive plays that he makes, it's going to be hard. I mean, any guy that's coming up, it's going to be hard, because even when you're blocking the ball, right, you're typically giving the ball back to them because you're blocking it out of balance. Like, a charge is our ball automatically, and what he's doing out there is beyond spectacular.
So Jay Will and JRE, I would say, like, in a similar sense, like the first half of JRE's first year, like, he played a lot of back to the basket, high post kind of thing, right? Then he shifted after he came back from injury to perimeter orientated. And my point is with Jay Will, I think when you look at Poku, JRE, Jay Will, like, yeah, they might
Let me ask you this. Who's the best shooter in those three?
I don't know. Probably JRE. But here's my thing, though.
Really? I was going to say Jay Will.
Maybe. He's got to prove it some more time. But
his three, here's my thing, though. So
they have skill sets that overlap, and they will be competing for the same position on the court. But coach will look at them and be like, okay, I know what I'm going to get from you. I know what I'm going to get from you, and I know what I'm going to get from you. And then he can choose how he wants to respond to the matchup. So their skill sets that they're developing, like, as they become the most realized version of themselves, they won't actually overlap as much as, like, the fear is that they will. So we got to give them a lot of space and recognize, like you said, next man up, next man up, next man up. And here we are, and we're learning more about the roster. It's a great feeling. Other guy from Arkansas, Isaiah Joe, 19 minutes, 18 points, 5 of 8 from deep, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He was everywhere. His defense was getting it done. Another big game by him, leading
the
bench.
But that was second half game. That was a second half game for him, man. He really showed up in that second half and just bombing that three, bro. And there's a couple times I was like, get Shea the ball, because I wanted Shea to get 40. And the threes that Isaiah took were so deep, but there's so money. It's like, oh, okay, just keep shooting.
Yeah. And Trey, man, good game, 11 points in 22 minutes. But he was out there balling. He was giving it his all. 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 rebounds. You like to see him follow up the last game where he had a really good one. Yep, he was just hitting shots. And Baisley came in, played some cleanup minutes, but played really solid, 3 of 3 from the field. 8 points, 2 rebounds.
A steal.
You like to see him come out because there's a pattern we want to see start happening, which is Shea gets to play 3 quarters. We beat a team by enough that he doesn't have to come in the fourth. It's not going to happen every game. But those games matter, especially when we come up on the next two, which are back-to-backs. So if we can create some extra rest.
That's it. Create extra rest, right? And then the second thing is keep taking care of the ball. We had first 3 quarters, we had 4 turnovers, okay? And then we went through the stretch in that fourth quarter where Shea was out, right? Where it's, I call Shea out minutes, right? But when Shea out minutes, that 5 minutes right there, where we had 4 turnovers in like 2.5 minutes. Otherwise, we had one of the best, you know, taking care of the ball nights we've had in a very long time. So these are keys that we need to continue doing. And it's not going to be as easy playing against Golden State as it was against the Rockets, and we know that. But listen, I Golden State gives up, and Seth Curry's done, dude. Steph Curry is done. He's done. He's probably done for a while.
Is he hurt?
He got injured last night. Oh yeah, yeah.
Really?
He got. Oh, bro. Somebody was driving through the lane. He's playing defense, and I can't tell if somebody's knee hit him. But if nobody's knee hit him and his knee buckled like that, that's not good. Hyperextension like that of a knee is not good. And yikes. I don't necessarily think that if it's an ACL or MCL, but what I got to say about that is if at his age, anything like that, I'm not letting him get back on the court for a couple weeks just because, you know, you can't have an old guy hyperextend his knee and be like, oh, okay, yeah, he's fine. No, he's just done for a while, because if you guys haven't seen it, go back and look at it and you'll see what I'm saying is...
Yeah,
it looked bad. And the thing is that he limped off. He walked off the floor, and I tore my ACL. And the first time I tore it, I tore it, and I got up and walked off the court. I felt fine; nothing was wrong. And then, you know, they put me back in the game, and 2 minutes later, I went to go block a ball and landed on it, and that's when I tore cartilage. And there was nothing. No, there's no pain that ever equivalent to that. Like I was probably good. I don't know how high I was up, and I landed on my one foot, on my one leg, and I still remember that pain like it was yesterday. So that's the thing, is that when you see somebody that hurts their knee like that, that hyperextends it, or you know, there's a weird, awkward movement to it, you're immediately like, okay, that's not good. But with that being said, Steph is the reason why the Golden State Warriors are where they're at right now, and you take him out of it, right?
Yeah.
Just like if Jordan you took Luka out of it. Yeah, it's up to Jordan Poole, which is never a good thing, so...
So let's look a little bit forward. Like you said, we got the Warriors up next. Obviously, without Steph, we feel a little bit better about our chances in that game. But even with him, I mean, I wish they were full strength, because I want to beat them the way we saw them, which is, you know, even if we lose a good game to the team that plays at that level, that's a gift for us at a young level. But then all eyes in the NBA world are going to be on one team, the Lakers. But now they need an opponent. It's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters when they were playing the Washington Generals or whatever they played. Here we are. We're the opponent, and we're supposed to just sit there and watch the other team smash us. But wait, the Thunder are good. And guess what? We want to win. So LeBron might get the record, but we want to win the game.
Think about this, man. Shea and J-Dub's favorite players growing up were Kobe. And here you are playing at the house that Kobe built, right? On an unbelievable night that could be one of those nights that lives in infamy. You know, this is one of those moments that every NBA player dreams of. Guys, NBA player dreams of. I get chills thinking about it. I get chills thinking about the opportunity that J-Dub and Shea and all these other guys have to play at some place that's so legendary, like the Lakers, against somebody so legendary like LeBron, on something that's so legendary that the record that's been held for 38 plus years. This is fucking insane, guys. To me, I'm staying up. I'm going live with each and every single one of you guys, because the emotions that's going to be going there is going to be insane, because it's only 36 points. Everybody's like, oh, 36 points for LeBron. Look at what he's done the last 10 games. There's a few 40s in there, 38 sprinkled in there. Like, listen, LeBron's ready. He's got day off, day off, day off, game time against us. What do you think? He's old game. This is it. I mean, he's ready to go, and it's going to be sick, bro. I cannot wait for something magical to happen on Tuesday night.
Yeah, join us on YouTube live. Make sure you subscribe and do that little bell so that we'll ding you whenever we show up. Ding. We'll see you there, guys.
That's so great.
Let's watch history together. Thunder up, everybody. Mm-hmm. We love you, and we will see you soon.